to Psalm 113. And I don't really have a sermon or a sermonette. I just have just a call to worship this morning. Read Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of their people. He settles the barren woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. I wanted to go over this little psalm this morning just as a reminder of who and why we should praise the Lord. As we come together and meet together and we hear the Word of God and we come and worship together, we need to remind ourselves and reorient ourselves. It's very difficult as we come out of all the different things that go on through the week, the trials, the temptations, the aggravations of life. You know, these different hardships many times pull our thoughts away from the Lord. And what I wanted to do this morning was just read through here and bring us back to the idea of praising God. If you look there in verse 1, he says, praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Basically, he's answering the question, Who is to praise the Lord? And it's the servants of the Lord to praise Him. You know, only the true people of God can praise Him. Many times we find unbelievers that praise comes from their lips or thankfulness comes from their lips. But what we find is that only true praise can come from His people because they know Him and their motives are pure. And they're praising God for Him and His glory and His majesty and His power, for His salvation. They praise from regenerated hearts. Now, it's not to say we want to beat down anyone who may not be a believer and comes to praise the Lord. We're not here to beat them up. We're not here to try to root them out. We're not here to try to put them down. You know, everybody should praise the Lord. But true worship and true praise is going to come from His servants. And then in verse 2, let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. Praising the Lord is something that's to be done always, both now and in the future. It's not something to be put off. It's not something that we relegate only to a certain time, like on Sunday mornings. You know, if you're reading this psalm on a Wednesday, the now is then on Wednesday. You know, it's not necessarily now, right now, on Sunday morning. And so the now and forevermore, of course, also brings us into the future, and so that there's always a time to be praising the Lord. So His saints will always praise Him. And in verse 3, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. How often should we praise the Lord? And it's always, really. You know, there is not a set day, but nor is there a set time. As we're driving down the road, as we're in class, at work, wherever we find ourselves, we're to be praising the Lord. And, you know, even in situations that we find ourselves that are difficult, you know, praising the Lord, giving thanks to Him, having joy. So, you know, praising the Lord is a 24/7, 365 activity. It's something that we're called to do all the time. Why should we praise the Lord? Well, in verse 4, He says, the Lord is exalted over the nations, His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on heavens and earth? You know, we see Christ above the nations, above the heavens. And here He is, higher and greater than the earth. But even in heaven, He sits high. He is before all things in heaven. And so, you know, whether it's the things that we can see or the things that we can't see, you know, there's God, and He's above all that, and He's in authority over all that, and He's creator of all that. He is greater than all that. He is qualitatively different from the creation itself. And so here is God above all those things. Who is like the Lord? You see, there is no other like Him. He's singular in that fashion. You can't compare God to anyone else or to anything else. There's always going to be, this gap, this contrast between God and the creation in the sense of trying to compare Him to anyone else. The best we can do is come up with many times metaphors and so forth when we try to compare God to something. And we see Scripture do that many times. It comes up with different metaphors and so forth to compare God, to give us a small picture, a small aspect of His nature, a small aspect of His attributes or His actions. But we can never look at that comparison and sum up God in that comparison. We just cannot do it. Now, this is not to say that human language is not adequate to explain things about God. It is. We would never say that God is so other and so different and so far removed from us that we can't know Him and can't understand aspects about His nature in part and parcel. But the vastness of God is one of those things that we're never going to be able to fully comprehend. And the thing about God is that even though He sits enthroned upon high, even though He is qualitatively different than His creation, and even though He has the self-sufficient greatness about Him, we see in verse 6 that He stoops down to look out on the heavens and the earth. And, you know, God could just let things go on and remove His hand and not look at us. And yet He does. He looks at us. Matter of fact, we see in verse 7, He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes of their people. Now, the poor there that He's talking about is not just the economically poor. I mean, He's talking about poor in spirit. He's talking about the downcast, the trodden, those who are spiritually downcast and trodden. God's not in the business of just simply making poor people rich, okay? It's not just, you know, in economic terms or in social status terms. We can't always view God in those terms and the way He acts and the blessings that He bestows. You know, we have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And many times the blessings may look on the outward surface like this person might be cursed by God because we see him poor, we see him maybe losing jobs, we might see him in dire circumstances and say, my gosh, you know, poor fella, God must hate that guy. And that's what many times Job's friends said about Job, was, you know, look at Job, you know, you must have done something to get God to do this to you. Certainly, you know, you've offended God. And yet, that's not the case. Many times, many dear saints of God find themselves in tough circumstances. They lost their job. You know, they have no money. They might find themselves homeless, persecuted. We can't look at our outward circumstances and say, oh, you know, somehow God doesn't care about me. Nor does it mean that because we are poor or homeless or because we find ourselves in these tough circumstances, that God's always going to bring us out of that. You know, that's not what God is going to do all the time. What God is mostly concerned about is the spiritual condition, your heart. God may leave you in a very tough circumstance for a particular reason. He has something to show you. Maybe He wants to show other people your situation, see how much you glory in Him in spite of these tough circumstances that you find yourself in. So we can't look at the rich person and say, oh, God really favors him, and look at the poor person and say, oh, God doesn't favor him. That's not it at all. What we have to look at is, spiritually, where is the person at? Spiritually, what kind of spiritual blessings has God given to this person? And so when God lifts people up, it's not just lifting you up in the sense that, you know, He's giving you good grades so you can make straight A's you know, on all your tests, you know, or always get raises at work. You know, maybe he's raising you up spiritually in terms of those spiritual things, giving you real sanctification, giving you real power to overcome sin and to show thankfulness and joy in spite of your circumstances and to be able to worship God. He settles the barren woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Again, you know, we can't always look at that in physical terms. You know, when this was written in Old Testament times, many times people looked upon people's outward circumstances. And a woman who was considered barren was considered to be a woman that had sinned. And so people looked at her with scorn. You know, but that wasn't always the case. And I don't know that that's so much a stigma that people have today. It's not to say that if a person is poor and they're raised up to be rich, that is the hand of God. God can do these things. I'm not trying to say He doesn't. But I think when we limit ourselves to strictly economic or strictly outward circumstances, we're limiting the blessings that God actually does give. And so we have to look at the spiritual blessings. God blesses people in many, various, and sundry ways. And that is a reason to praise Him. That is a reason to praise Him. To look at the blessings that God has given us. Don't always look at your physical outward circumstances. Look at what God has done in you. You know, we can praise God for the life that we once lived and how God brought us out of that and gave us salvation, gave us a new heart, and gave us the ability to overcome sin. That is a great blessing in and of itself. That right there, that is a tremendous blessing. You know, if you live the rest of your days in slavery and you have that blessing, that's the greatest blessing you can have. To be able to live forever with Him, to have that hope, to be with Christ forever. So, you know, this morning as we come together as the saints of the Lord, and we come together to worship Him, let's not think in terms of like this is the only time we can praise God, or let's not think in terms of, you know, I have no reason to praise God. We all have reason to praise God. Certainly we can praise Him for the economic and outward blessings as well as the inward, you know, both. But we all have a reason to praise the Lord. Anybody have anything to add or share? For me, it's a matter of just stopping and thinking about the different blessings that God's given me. And many times the active pace at which I find myself distracted with so many things, it can be something that evades my attention to just stop and think about the blessings that God's given me and to worship Him and give Him thanks and praise for that. No matter what time of the day it is, no matter when it is, no matter what circumstance I find myself in, you know. Well, let's go ahead and sing and worship. We don't have a guitar player, I understand. We do. Ah, well, just in time. You have a tuned-up guitar? All right.